I'm Nancy Searles. Very glad to be with you. I'm going to spend the week sharing color with you. I am a weaver. I was up here last summer as the weaver here. And as I taught weaving, I found that students responded to color. And as I observed students using color, I'm also a therapist, I could begin to tell if there was something going on. And if I addressed a student, I usually was right. Something was going on within the student, and colors had been selected by that student for certain reasons. So I began looking more into color, began working with the energy of color. And the title for this summer, Something is Afoot in the Universe, is what I now am addressing. I still am weaving and teaching and so forth, but I'm addressing something new. I came up here for a rest and to teach and have such a stack of books on the floor. I'm holed up in where I'm staying and reading. And things are just coming in very, very quickly concerning what I'm going to begin to share with you tonight. This is tonight's sixth sensing, color. You know everything you need to know about color. You don't realize it. I want to read you something to begin. And what this does is tell you where we are. This is from a book by Lauren Isley. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Lauren Isley's writings. This is The Unexpected Universe. And rather than, that isn't the right place, rather than trying to paraphrase it, this is so well put that it makes sense just to read it. I once received an unexpected lesson from a spider. It happened far away on a rainy morning in the west. I had come up a long gulch looking for fossils, and there, just at eye level, lurked a huge yellow and black orb spider, whose web was moored to the tall spears of buffalo grass at the edge of the arroyo. It's late for me, too. It's late. It was her universe, and her senses did not extend beyond the lines and spokes of the great wheel she inhabited. Her extended claws could feel every vibration throughout that delicate structure. She knew the tug of wind, the fall of a raindrop, the flutter of a trapped moth's wing. Down one spoke of the web ran a stout ribbon of gossamer, on which she could hurry out to investigate her prey. Curious, I took a pencil from my pocket and touched a strand of the web. Immediately there was a response. The web, plucked by its menacing occupant, began to vibrate until it was a blur. Anything that had brushed claw or wing against that amazing snare would be thoroughly entrapped. As the vibration slowed, I could see the owner fingering her guidelines for signs of struggle. A pencil point was an intrusion into this universe for which no precedent existed. Spider was circumscribed by spider ideas. Its universe was spider universe. All outside was irrational, extraneous, at best raw material for spider. As I proceeded on my way along the gully like a vast, impossible shadow, I realized that in the world of spider, I did not exist. The spider was a symbol of man in miniature. The wheel of the web brought the analogy home clearly. Man, too, lies at the heart of a web. A web extending through the starry reaches of sidereal space, as well as backward into the dark realm of prehistory. His great eye upon Mount Palomar looks into a distance of millions of light years. His radio ear hears the whisper of even more remote galaxies. He peers through the electron microscope upon the minute particles of his own being. It is a web no creature of Earth has ever spun before. Like the orb spider, man lies at the heart of it, listening. Knowledge has given him the memory of Earth's history beyond the time of his emergence. Like the spider's claw, a part of him touches a world he will never enter in the flesh. Even now, one can see him reaching forward into time with new machines, computing, analyzing, until elements of the shadowy future will also compose part of the invisible web he fingers. Yet still my spider lingers in memory against the sunset sky. Spider thoughts in a spider universe, sensitive to raindrop and moth flutter, nothing beyond. Nothing allowed for the unexpected. The inserted pencil from the world outside. Is man at heart any different from the spider, I wonder? Man thoughts as limited as spider thoughts, contemplating now the nearest star with the threat of bringing with him the fungus rot from Earth and wars, violence, the burden of a population he refuses to control, cherishing again his dream of the Edenic Eden he had pursued and lost in the green forests of America. It is not sufficient any longer to listen at the end of a wire to the rustlings of galaxies. It is not enough even to examine the great coil of DNA in which is coded the very alphabet of life. These are our extended perceptions. But beyond lies the great darkness of the ultimate dreamer, who dreamed the light and the galaxies. Before act was, or substance existed, imagination grew in the dark. Man partakes of that ultimate wonder and creativeness. As we turn from the galaxies to the swarming cells of our own being, which toil for something, some entity beyond their grasp, let us remember man, the self-fabricator who came across an ice age to look into the mirrors and the magic of science. Surely he did not come to see himself or his wild visage only. He came because he is at heart a listener and a searcher for some transcendent realm beyond himself. This he is worshipped by many names, even in the dismal caves of his beginning. Man, the self-fabricator, is so by reason of gifts he has no part in devising. And so he searches, as the single living cell in the beginning must have sought the ghostly creature it was to serve. Spider thoughts in a spider universe. We are so reluctant in the Western culture to reach beyond. Things very quickly, if they're not explained through the five senses, become something we don't want to mess with. And students, as I said when I began teaching weaving, students would say, I'm not creative, I don't know anything about color, I don't know anything about design, and I'm taking weaving because here's a square thing that'll do all my work for me. And I finally learned to say, fine. And then proceeded to show them during the first course what, in fact, they were learning and all the things that they already knew. But students refused to believe that, and they still wanted courses on design and courses on color, and I would give them. And then you just get confused with all the facts, when really all of the information is inside, but not through the five senses. You see color, you see red, and you see green, and you see blue, and you see yellow, and you hear high tones, and you hear low tones, and you hear harsh tones. But it is, and I call my last session this, the man can see, although he is blind. The man hears, although he is deaf. We see much better when we close our eyes. I hadn't thought about this, but I used to climb in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. I had climbed many times, and a friend of mine asked to go along, and she was blind. She was from England and was a physical therapist in this country. And I figured if Anne asked me to go along, she probably knew what she was talking about. So I said, sure, come on along. And we started up a trail familiar to me probably 15, 20 times I had climbed Tuckerman's Ravine. And she'd say, Listen. The trees have changed. There are no more birch trees. I say, what do you mean? She say, close your eyes and listen. Look up there. See? They are shorter trees now. I'm going, oh. Close your eyes and listen. A little farther along. Oh, look at that chipmunk. And she's hanging on by one finger on the back of my pack. I'm stumbling. She's doing fine. I'm hanging on. Look at that chipmunk. I said, Anne, how do you know it's a chipmunk? But close your eyes and listen. And a little farther along, listen to the stream over there. I said, what stream? Close your eyes and listen. And I did. And here we were in a horseshoe that was probably 3/4 of a mile across. And on the other side of the horseshoe was a stream. You couldn't even see it. But when I closed my eyes, I could hear it. And she could see. She told me what I was seeing. She had not had her sight since she was 5, and at this point she's about 28. If we close our eyes, we can listen with our eyes. And this is what I'm going to work with this week. And tonight what we're going to do, I'm going to share yarns as we pass these around. What I'm going to do, I think, is pass the yarns around, take a set of 3, and back here I'm going to start the rest of it. I didn't know how many I have. And you can cut about this much off of red, yellow, and blue.
One of each color, right?
One of each color. Color is energy. Color is energy. It is sensed as a vibration, just as tones are sensed as a vibration. I suspect what I'm getting into is going to be something called the color of tonality and the tonality of color. The two are very interrelated. And I'm really just beginning into this, and I'll be sharing this week things that I'm going through this week. Through this stack of stuff that Paula has shared and I have brought with me and so forth. This is basically a new finding. I am writing a book, starting in on a book with it, based on some work with students and some experimental work. But color is energy. Color is vibration. You sense the vibration. The colors that you decorate your house with are vibrations in colors. You say, I like this color. You don't know why you like it, and you don't have to know. The point is that color matches something in your space, in your own energy. I don't like this color. There is an actual vibration reason for like or dislike of a color, and there are studies going on now that deal with color selection, which when measured in a certain way within the energy, within the aura or the energy field of a person can be measured electronically to see if that color matches with your vibration, if it's going to work with you. You may put a certain blouse on and say, oh boy, I don't want to wear this today. You're reacting to color, not reacting to the green or the blue or whatever. Anne could put that same blouse on and she'd have the same reaction. And she was always color coordinated. I said, how do you pick out your clothes? And she said, I feel it. And if this feel goes with this feel, I put them together. She said, I've missed sometimes on lipstick, and I solved that just by not wearing any. I said, well, that's not really a big problem, but, you know, she could feel. Of course, when you read Braille, your fingertips are very sensitized, and she could feel a vibration coming from different pieces of clothing. So this is something, we're not attuned to it. We are simply not attuned to it. And our five senses have become so strong, touch being only the one that you pick up things with, that we do not listen from within. So, does everybody have a piece of each yarn? We're going to do two things tonight. Now, this one is hard to do with a group of people. But I'm going to give you these yarns, and I'm going to show you, what we do with them. And then you can take them with you and play around with it, or at least through this, be aware of what's happening. Do you think that red vibrates higher or lower than blue?
Higher.
Red vibrates lower than blue.
It does.
Red, but you see what's happening. You're looking at red, and red usually goes zing at you, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at it, and it's bright red. Red is a slow, pulsing vibration. It's the lowest vibration in color that we see. It's the lowest on the spectrum of color. And it is, of course, the color of the blood flow and the pulsing, the regularity, the rhythm, and so forth. And red is a very strong color that governs most of our lives. As I look around, I see quite a bit of various shades of red. Blue, on the other hand, is a much higher vibration. As you look at the color scale, it's pretty close to the other end, the other spectrum, end of the spectrum. Red is going to be warmer. And I'm sure you do know that the rule, if you want something to come toward you, what are the colors you use?
Yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yellow or?
The lighter colors. The brighter colors.
The brighter colors. The red, orange, and yellow. Yellow can go either way. If you want it to come towards you, and you use the blues and the purples, yes. If you want it to go away from you. That again, that's of course a visual thing, but it also is a warm, slow pulsing that approaches with actual warmth of the color. And blue is going to be cooler. And as it vibrates higher, it actually, to the inner eye, is appearing to recede and go up, whereas the red is going to remain lower. Yellow is right about in the middle. It's a harder one to tell, but you have the three primary colors. Now, what I want you to do is take a hold of the red one and ball it up in your hand. And I want you to close your eyes and just hold that red yarn for a minute. Try to sense it. Okay, now put that one down and pick up the blue one. Now you may or may not, in this environment, be able to sense a difference. Can you feel anything that's any different?
It's lighter and skinnier.
Yeah, it will seem lighter. That part of that, I think, although they're identical yarns, it may be a slightly thinner yarn, but what I suspect is happening is it's going to vibrate, it's going to feel lighter. And red may feel a little bit heavier. Very difficult to tell, first try and also just with a short length of yarn.
But this is not a full spectrum blue, is it? It's darker.
It's a little bit darker. I could not get the pure blue. This one, the amount of black in that will not affect the coolness too much in that. It at least didn't have any red in it. So so I settled for that one. But can you even put one in each hand?
That's what I'm doing, and I'm really noticing.
Okay, close your eyes with one, and in fact, mix them up. Get them in one in each hand, but you don't know which is in which hand. Okay, now close your eyes. Now your hands don't react the same. You may have different feelings in both hands, but see by feeling them if at least you can see that they are different. You may not be able to tell which is which, but see if you can tell that they are different. And remember, here was this blind gal doing this every morning to find her clothes. Can you sense any difference with them at all? As you're holding those, and then pick up the yellow one and see, that one may have some different feelings too. Before our other exercise that we'll get into, I'm going to read something else to you. Very short. Written in 1914. Every shade of color in nature indicates a potency which can be measured by its wavelength and its rate of vibration and have its tone determined. We read, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I bet we've all read this one way, and this is her interpretation. This is literally true, for the color of the hair, together with its texture, determines the number of its vibration, just as the texture of a violin string determines the number and character of its vibrations. And the vibrations of the hair, as a part of the keynote of the body, are one indication of the character or the measure of a man. Every flower and herb of the field, every leaf and twig of the forest, by its color and form, its odor, its environment, and its manner of growing, proclaims in unmistakable language its nature, its potencies, and its uses when interpreted according to the law of correspondences, as above, so below. Now, as above, so below is not dependent on the five senses. It is dependent on this vibration and this sensing from within what's going on out in this spider universe. But it's not the way that we're used to approaching things. Anybody notice anything with the colors?
I experienced the blue receding and the red coming towards. It was just like an energy.
It can be an energy thing. And the other thing that Anne said to me at this time, and I now experience, I may actually see something. Because she said, I see something. She is seeing what the vibrations are doing to her. And later in this week, we are going to do some color meditations. I'm going to show you how to meditate, wrap yourself in color, and allow yourself to explore these colors and reach out and feel them and so forth. And this gives you a real good chance to just see what's happening with these vibrations through your mind, not necessarily through your fingertips. And that's what we're going to start on tonight. We're going to take a walk through a number of rooms of color. And you'll have a chance to, in a very programmed sense, without actually going into a meditation, to experience color all around you and see how it feels as opposed to how it looks. Now what I'd like you to do is stand up for a minute. This lighting is very likely to have everybody asleep for the first room. This is a class that I like to run at 7 in the morning. And just kind of move around. Everybody's had dinner and need a siesta and so forth. Okay. And with a meditation, you can sit in a chair, you can sit on the floor, you can lean up against the counter, you can do whatever you want. If you feel you need a little bit more space, do move out so that you can sit against one of the walls. But I want you comfortable. I'm reading this week why hospital rooms are green. Why hospital rooms are green. Why there is a lot of blue in churches. Why it's good to have blue in psychiatric patient wards. Why they used orange after World War II with shell-shocked patients to get them going again. All of these things have to do with matching the energy with the energy of the person involved. Calming effects for the psychiatric patients. Uplifting effects for those in church. Restful effects for those in the hospital. And with the shell-shocked, the orange brought them back to a sense of life and back to the ability to eat. And then they slept in green rooms so that they could then sleep. But these are some of the things that are cropping up. And after we've walked in the rooms, well, if we have some time, we can talk a little bit about the mood of colors, as you may see it. What do these colors mean to you? And we'll walk, I think, through three rooms, and then I'm going to bring you out. We'll walk through the three primaries. And then talk about it a little bit, and then we'll walk through a couple of other rooms. Okay, what I'd like you to do is sit squarely with your feet on the floor or sit up against the wall so that your body is alert. And I want you to take a deep breath in. And exhale slowly. Take another deep breath in. And exhale slowly. Now prepare to walk into the first room. There is a door in front of you. Go up and open that door and walk through into a room that is entirely red. There is a door at the other side of the red room through which you will exit, and I want you to just open that door a little bit. The red room is quite powerful. Stand against the door that you just walked through and look ahead at the red. And to your right, and to your left, and up above, and down below you. Sense the redness around you. What does it feel like? What is the temperature? Is it closing in on you? Is it moving away? Is it a small room? Is it a large room? Just look around you. Okay. Now we're going to walk out of the red room through the door opposite the one you entered. Go to that door. Open it fully and walk through it into the next room, a room that is entirely yellow, a nice, pure yellow. Walk in, close the door behind you, look around you. the left, look to the right, and in front of you, and up above. What does this room feel like? Is it different from the red room? Is it hard? Is it soft? Okay, come back to the center of the room. There's a door opposite the one you entered by. Open that door. You'll be walking out of the yellow room and into a blue room. Close the door behind you. And this is a primary blue, a nice deeper than sky blue, like a deep blue sea blue. Look to your left and your right. Look overhead and below. What does this feel like? Can you feel the walls? Is it a big room or small? Now we're going to leave the blue room. When you leave the blue room, you will come back into this room. Come back to where you're sitting. I want you to take a deep breath. And exhale. When you are aware of where you're sitting, open your eyes. Now, what happened? What did you feel on the red room?
Closing in upon me.
Hmm?
It was closing in upon me.
Okay. Anybody else feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out.
You wanted to get out?
Yeah, I did too.
That's why we leave the door open on the other side. Red, because it is the pulsing color of life, it can actually suffocate you. Mm-hmm. And we don't ever go into a totally red room. And so you experienced thick, you said?
Yeah, and sort of 3D, like things were. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the walls had shapes behind the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of a gunky feeling.
Yeah, kind of thick and.
Yeah.
So you mentioned pulse, and mine changed colors of red. Be brighter and lesser and oranger and darker.
But in our Lutheran churches, that red is used a great deal, especially muted. Red, like maroon.
That's a very different color. Maroon is very different color from bright red.
You hardly ever see blue in Protestant churches, but Jewish synagogues feature blue a great deal.
That's right.
Jewish synagogues feature blue.
The blue is the spiritual, and the Protestant churches brought things right down to earth with the greens and the reds and the purples that are person-centered, whereas the Jewish synagogue is God-centered. That's one difference for the colors, and that's a hard thing to deal with. But this is true, and that's absolutely right. And there is a lot of red in many churches. It is a true bright red, but only at certain seasons.
And isn't yellow an exciting, causes excitement? And that's why the yellow cabs are painted red, because it's I don't know how to express the vibrations of yellow, but we see a yellow object before we see a blue object.
Well, that's a visual perception.
Yes.
And that's something that happens visually. But when we talk about the yellow room, I will give you some of the the inner meanings of these colors. Yes, you see, perceptually, your eye will receive yellow first.
Yes.
But that has nothing to do with...
But we associate it with sunshine and yellow daisies, and so therefore
sure.
It's a happy color to us.
Well, it is a happy color. It's a mental color. It's a mental uplifting color. Mm-hmm. Anything else about the red room? You seem to get the...
It made me think of ketchup.
Well, look at ketchup. If you're using the right kind, it can be pretty slow.
Mine was reflective. It seemed like it had hard surfaces and that were reflecting off
it. Okay.
Mine's some very small.
Very small.
Small room.
Yeah.
Did anybody see it as a large room?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you did.
I think mine had a window.
I hope so.
I think so. I think for now, I remember I looked at it. I think it was the only room that had a window to one.
Well, that's a good safety valve. Most will see the red as a room that is growing smaller or is at least a fairly close room. If you can expand the red room, you can keep it from pulling in on you. And that is a control over it. Very seldom are rooms painted entirely red. You go bananas. No, you would not be able to stay in a red room. Now you don't have to know why, but you're reacting to all of the vibratory reasons, all of the energy of red. You already know what it does to or for you. Well, the yellow room. What happened in the yellow room?
I just took off in the yellow room. I got so active. I ran from one corner to the other. And I felt like the ceiling was so high, I could just jump mm-hmm. up and even fly in it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
It felt warm. Normal. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was huge.
Okay.
For me, it was cooler than the red room.
Because yeah, cool. All right. Enjoyed it.
You smiled and enjoyed it. I dare say so. what about the surface of the room?
It was a happier room than the red room.
It's a much happier room. The vibration is higher. But it is, yellow is a color of mentality and mental uplift. And this is another color when a psychiatric patient is depressed. They are often put into a yellow room to be mentally uplifted. And you think of sunshine and daisies and things that are uplifting. I read earlier today, how can anybody be depressed when they're looking at a bunch of yellow poppy heads waving back and forth in the breeze? You can't very well be depressed. It's not the color, it's the energy from it. So you may have felt an expansion of the room. You may... Was this room clearly defined as to corners and so forth or not?
Yes, it had a table in it.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're setting up housekeeping. Well, going to stay here a while.
Would it be a yellow that goes into a sort of a cool yellow that becomes... Because there is a yellow that's almost the color of madness, and it's too bright and too...
Well, that's that. There is a yellow that can vibrate. When it has a little red in it, it can be a very dangerous color.
It can be very cool.
Mm-hmm. All of the colors have broad ranges.
Just be visual. I found it almost blinding, though.
If you add white... Did anybody's room have white added to it?
It kept saying white every time you changed color. The room would be white, and then when you said the color, it would come back to the color.
Okay, okay. The white added to yellow is blinding.
That was the ceiling.
Okay.
And almost every corner in my room was white.
That can happen.
And there were no corners.
Just going to move right out. But the white with yellow, I wove a piece not too long ago that had a yellowish setting sun in the middle, and I t- took the yellow brighter and brighter, and it ended up with some white in it, and then I went back down the yellows. I got the piece off the loom, and I started taking the white out and putting yellow in, white out and yellow in. Kept taking the white out until I had one thin strand of white in the place where I wanted it. And that's all it took to have that area just stand right out as white. It will absolutely be glaring with the yellow. And so this tells you, you know, something about your use of yellow and white. Read something yesterday that said every house should have a yellow alcove or a yellow room into which a family can go each day and meditate together. That it is a mentally uplifting room, it is a happy room, and it is a room in which, as a group, you will feel good.
Is this why we worship gold?
Gold is, I was reading about that today too, and I came across a statement that the gold comes from the orange and gold, and the color gold, which is between a yellow and an orange, is thought to be the most uplifting. And so gold was brought into all of the paintings and the altar frontals and so forth as the essence of heaven brought to earth. But it also has, gold is associated with other colors in other ways. And many of the reasons the colors are used in churches comes from the very early vibratory sense of color, and from what was used prior to Christian church time, but used by various cultures and various civilizations for various reasons. And it was brought into the church, and the church uses gold to demonstrate its high mentality. So that's what I had read.
Yellow should be good for children then, shouldn't it?
Yellow is excellent for children. But too much yellow, if a child is hyperactive, is not good. You put a hyperactive child in an orange room. It is intriguing what will happen with the different colors. Now, what happened with the blue room?
Wait, were you going to say something about texture?
In the yellow room, or anybody feel anything different from the red room as far as texture?
Well, in the red room, the surfaces were all really, seemed really shiny and slick, but in the yellow room, they were like talc or like something powdery.
I think the other way around. The red was soft and the blue was harsh and shiny. Move back out.
Each of you will react according to your own inner needs and your own energy levels to some properties of each color. Where you are right now. You know, how you're feeling right now. And if you did the same exercise tomorrow, you might have somewhat different results. You know, generally you're going to have the same things. But I would be very surprised if a whole room full of people said exactly the same thing about each color. But basically, you're coming to some of the generalities that you live with and you don't realize, perhaps, that you live with these. What happened in the blue room?
It was peaceful. Wasn't it? It was a blue light for this little lighter than that.
It was kind of cold and cool.
Okay.
It was the largest room of the three.
Okay, that's very likely. Did any of these rooms go anywhere when you were in them?
Like spin around?
Or up or down or sideways or any sense of going anywhere?
Yeah, I had trouble pushing the walls back.
In?
I think it was the red.
Probably.
Kept crowding me.
Sometimes the blue room will rise. The red room will, you'll feel that it's quite heavy. It depends a lot on where, again, where you are right now. Anything else about the blue room?
My blue room had a soft, cushy couch on the left wall that just kept inviting me to sit down. So I sat down on the couch. It was just like a real, like a velvety kind of couch that had the big arms, so it'd be real comfortable to sit in. And then I sat down, and as I sat down, the wall ahead of me seemed even farther away. So then that room for me was also the biggest. But I don't remember if the wall was moving even further back, but it was like I actually just was going to sit in that room for a while and just sit on the couch and just look around.
Well, that's, it's very peaceful. There is a, well, blue is a spiritual color. It's next to the highest vibration. So it is going to be very uplifting, which is why the church does speak about blue quite a bit. And there will be blue often, the ceilings of churches in this country are often painted blue for this reason. And it is when you need to truly be uplifted spiritually, wear blue. When you wish to be uplifted mentally, you can wear yellow. Or sleep in yellow sheets. I mean, this sounds kooky. But when you consider that we're dealing with vibrations, now you know about vibrations and sounds, right? Tones. You know that various tones vibrate. And you see it in the violin string. You can see that tone vibrate. Colors do the same thing. And the thing that I'm finding as I'm reading is that every color has a tone that matches it in vibration. And is anybody familiar with music as far as playing or anything or any instrument or anything at all? No?
Mm-hmm. I play piano, but I don't never attach it to colors.
Okay. For me, the key of D sharp is very different from the key of E flat. They're the same thing. But this is something, the tonality, even though they're identical, one will feel more energy than the other one. And various keys create different moods.
Mm-hmm. If you put yellow and you put the complement to yellow, which is purple, does that intensify the mm-hmm. vibrations of the yellow?
No, they work, they blend into one
Do
another.
Do they neutralize each other?
They, only if you add a third color. But they're going to work against each other.
Well, visually though, they say if you want to make your red appear brighter, then you put green with it. That's a compliment,
right.
And that's why we have red and green at Christmas time.
Well, this is true, and they
That's visual.
That's a visual response. It also is an energy response.
But you also get gray if you mix them equally.
If you mix them equally,
they neutralize each other.
They do. They are going to cancel each other out. Particularly if you add any third color, it'll just go to brown. But every color does have a tone. And if you think of colors as vibrations, and realize that when you redecorate your home, you know, suddenly you get sick and tired of these colors that you've been using, and you decide to change everything. And really, you go as I went from greens and oranges to teal blue and a deep rust, and it was much more calming for me. Well, it should have been. The vibrations were far different when I began to study it. But if you begin to look at the colors that are around you and that you choose to wear and choose to have around you, they are going to tell you a great deal about where you are right now. and what you're feeling. And this, through the meditations and so forth, we'll deal a little more with this. Does anybody have any reactions to this or any questions?
I have a question. Are these vibrations scientifically measurable?
Yes, they are. And they have been measured.
Can they be codified then, like this would be 30 vibrations, this would be...
Depending on the type of fiber, density, and so forth, it can be measured the same way that a tone, a musical tone, is measured. Not as much has been done with this as it has with sound, but and the vibrations are more subtle, but they are there and they are measurable, yes, and have been measured.
Does the quantity of color have something to do with it?
Well, the density.
Does it?
Yeah. In a, if you were measuring that yarn, it might not be dense enough to have a, you know, a decent reading. You might need more of it.
Is that experimentation done in physics?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it is.
Physics?
Yes, it is.
And how does it work with the Prang theory then?
That's visual.
Prang.
That the Prang is a visual.
Okay.
And this we're hung up with color on the visual. We figure that sound is what you hear, not color. So we express everything in color from our eyes. And we've measured it according to what it does to the rods and cones in our eyes. And it's absolutely right. I mean, there's nothing at all wrong with it. It's just that there's a little more to it that we sense within our beings that is not recorded there. Any other questions? Yes.
What's indicated if you can't conjure one of the colors, or in this blue room, I just couldn't get up into a blue room.
It's the hard. That's a very
I
good.
I could not get into that blue room. It kept turning into sort of blackberry color.
Okay.
Purple. Wanted to be purple or kind of a mauve, or and it just didn't have any shape, and it didn't have any blue.
Anybody else have any trouble with blue?
Yeah.
It's a hard color because it is spiritual. It is hard to pull in. I often, if I'm having trouble pulling in a blue, I will know pretty much that I'm right now rather out of tune with my spirituality, that I'm not able to pull it. And I need to focus, not on that room, but just maybe go out and take a walk and sit down and meditate, or work through the Lord's Prayer, or just, it's an indication to me that something's happening. If a color won't pull, there is a reason for it that is in you.
I think mine had a couch in it because I just got done with a 3-hour walk, and I was just sitting by the creek by myself down there, just
excellent.
Praying and just being
excellent.
In nature. And I did this one time before, I never had a couch in it, and maybe it was just because of all afternoon I've just been by myself sitting outside.
I suspect that's it, and you were prepared to stay a while, mm-hmm. and it was comfortable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This, what you see when you go through this, what you see in any of these meditations is very important. And you know, oh well, that just was happening, you know, that couch just slipped in there. The couch is there to tell you something. And it usually is something very positive. Now when we go into our other meditations during the week, I am going to prepare you with white light and so forth. We don't usually jump into a meditation without the Lord's protection. Walking through the rooms is something that is a little bit more structured, and you know, a couch may appear or a table appears, but usually you're not going to see forms or anything else in these rooms because you are looking at something that's already formed in your mind.
It's not like white light is, you're going to talk about later, because I kept getting white light.
Where?
Where are you?
Oh, well, out in the room.
Well, sort of in between or when I opened the door.
Okay, this may have happened. Several of you talked about the white light between the rooms. White is a pure total color. It is all color.
It's a physics. Yeah.
It's a physics. And you went from, and it what it would mean probably is that you're receptive, you're going to a total color and then reducing it down to whatever I asked for in a total color and then reducing it down. White is a pure total color. And when we wrap in white, if you ever wish the Lord's protection, if you simply will close your eyes, picture yourself wrapped in white light, and ask for the Lord's protection, that is actually energy. On your energy field, you can ask for color around you. You'll see how we wrap in color.
The way to prove that white is the perfect presence of all color is in a handful of snow in the wintertime. You look at it in sunshine and you soon see
everything.
All the colors of the spectrum.
You sure do.
It's
and that's
the perfect
very beautiful.
Presence of all color.
Mm-hmm. That's right. What I'd like to do is walk through, let's see what our time is here. I want to walk you into, we'll walk into a green room and then one other room. Okay. Another room you don't ever walk into is a white room. Totally white room. You leave the door open to the red room. But I want you to put your feet on the ground. Okay, take a deep breath. Exhale. Take one more deep breath. And exhale. There is a door in front of you. I want you to open it and walk into a green room. Close the door behind you. Look to your left and your right. And in front, and above. Feel the room. Is it large? Is it small? What do the walls feel like? What is the temperature of this room? Okay, there's a door in front of you. I want you to go through that door and go into the next room, which is black. There's a door at the other side of the room. I want you to open that door a crack. Now go back and stand in the middle of this room. And look to your right and your left and up above and below you. You're going to exit this room back into this room. I want you to take a deep breath in. Exhale slowly. And when you are aware of where you're sitting, open your eyes. What happened in the green room?
I couldn't could not get mine to get all green.
I told them that too.
Green is the color of earth. Green is the color of growth. It is the nature in which we live, and it has many shades. It is a very comforting, refreshing color. We know that if we go outside and sit under the trees, by the stream, lie down on the grass, we will be refreshed.